this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight, first off, I want you to notice this. The first use of the number, if you look over in Genesis chapter 1, the first use of the number 1 happens in Genesis chapter 1. It's the first chapter, it's the first verse, but the word 1, I want to show you this, is in Genesis chapter 1 verse 9. Where it says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place." There it is. "And let the dry land appear, and it was so." I think it's very odd that last week, somebody asked me on the way out the door, said, "Did you intend to start a number study today?" I said, "Why?" They said, "Well, 9 being the number for fruitfulness." It was 9, September 9th of 2018, which is a division, or you divide that's 2 9s. Or you can go 9, 9, 18. That's a mathematical equation. 9 plus 9 is 18. I didn't intend for it to be like that, but hey, I'll take credit for it, okay? But if you look at this, the first time 1 shows up, and you're studying 1 tonight, what's outside? Waters. A bunch of waters. How about that? I really didn't make that one up. That one came just like that. So it said that let the waters under the heaven be gathered. Now, you have been gathering here lately around here, haven't they? But he says, "Unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. Over Matthew chapter 3 is the first New Testament occurrence of the word one. Matthew chapter 3 has a lot of firsts over there in it. We got the first mention in the Gospels of John the Baptist. We have the first mention of the word Baptist itself. The first mention of the occurrence of the word preaching. And we got Baptist preaching over there showing up together for the first time. The word repent shows up for the first time in verse 2. And if you look down in verse 3, says, "For this was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." The voice of how many? One. Whose message was that? That was God's message, right? God still just has one message.
Right.
Just one message. It's still the same. As we look on down here, the one occurs 1,969 times in the Bible. And that means absolutely nothing unless you was born in 1969. Then you look at that and say, wow. Hey, who else born in 1969? Just me, right? So there's one person born here in 1969. Ooh. That ain't part of the message. That was a joke. You can freely laugh at it or not. Yeah, thank you. Now, the meanings of the number one, as we look in Scripture tonight, the meanings are, first, it literally means unity. It means unity. And, of course, one in Scripture even stands for these things. It stands for a source. God is. You'll find that in the Bible. He's the source of things, and he's the only source of things. He's the only creator. He's the only savior. But you know what also stands for sovereignty? How many sovereign gods are there? Just one. Just one. God rules and reigns over everything. He's got everything figured out, everything under control. Nothing's bothering him one way or another. He knows how it ends up, and he knows he already won it. As we go on down, it also stands for creation, that one in Scripture. There's just been one creation. I don't fuss with people about this. They can think what they want to think. But here's the deal. In Genesis chapter 1, one creation, one declaration, that creation verse 1, verse 2, all the way down to the end of that chapter is the description of that one creation.
Right.
Now see, that makes sense. Because trying to put another creation or two in there don't make sense when you get to Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin into the world, was Adam walking on a fossilized graveyard, or did sin enter when Adam did it?"
No.
It can't be both.
Right.
It's got to be that one. It's got to be one creation. We look on down, we find there's one God the Father, just one. One God the Father, and then we look, there's one Godhead. A lot of folks are confused about that word Godhead, but if you have a King James Bible, it's in your Bible 3 times, referring to one God. All the rest of them do away with the word or take it out in one place, which breaks the cross reference that we've had in the Scripture for, 400 years in English. As we look on over, the occurrences of the number. First is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Don't you look at all these ones. It says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is a southern writing for the southern kingdom. You all. Paul was from south. He wasn't from the north tribe. He didn't know. Had to be, or he wouldn't put you all in there, would he? But I noticed this. He said there's one body. One body. One thing about a local church is a manifestation of that one body. For two or more gathered in his name. Not gathered as a social club, that gathered in his name. That's that one body manifest in several different places. We also have one spirit. And that capital S, that's one Holy Spirit. In other words, God won't tell you one thing and tell me another on the same subject. They'll line up. There's no private interpretation of Scripture. The one Spirit will show you that. There's one hope of your calling. And listen, that one hope that we got is over in Titus chapter 2, and that's that he comes and gets us before the tribulation. He said he would. I trust him. I don't trust these mid-tribulation scholars. I don't trust post-tribulation and post-amillennial and amillennial and all that stuff. I go by what the Bible says.
Amen.
And Jesus is coming soon to get his church. That's the one hope of our calling. You'll notice it says one Lord. God didn't send three or four of them. He sent one. It was himself. There's just one Lord. He said there's one faith. Here's something funny. If there's only one faith, how are these different denominations? Can't help you with that, but I do know this. There's only one faith. And I'm going to stick with the one that says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That's the one faith the Bible teaches.
Right.
You'll notice over in Jude, they contend for the faith, one faith. And that's still the same to this day. There's still just one faith. You'll notice also there's one baptism. Now, here's a tricky thing. There's seven baptisms in the Bible, but it says there's one baptism. Here's what it is. Those seven are seven different types of that one baptism. That's where you're put into the body of Christ. Everything else is a type of it. Now notice this one. He says there's only one God. Boy, that'll tear some people up. I heard one of these talk show hosts say the other day that God was a woman. And I thought, man, that's something else. Somebody got one by on God then, if there's a woman God out there. Because he said, I am and there's none else. So who do I trust, the TV or I trust the Bible? Well, it's kind of not hard to pick the two out between there since the other one lies to me so much.
Right.
Yeah, I know. One God and Father of all. Now we see that occurrence right there. The next one we look at is John chapter 10, verse 30. Here's something to really wrap your mind around. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. There's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but there's one God. It's one God manifest in three distinct persons, not offices, persons. Three distinct persons. So how do you understand that? I believe it.
Right.
I don't understand these lights, but I flip the switch. I don't understand how God's like all that, except God's too big for just one. Amen. Listen, I understand. He's just one God. And we go to Deuteronomy. He's one God over there. In Revelation, he's one God over here. And he said, I and my Father are one. And we notice another one here. 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. If you have a New American Standard, NIV, and all those other Bibles, you'll find that verse is missing in your Bible. How'd that happen? Oh, I know. There were some people that was Jesus Only Pentecostal said on the board of most of them things that went out and tried to take that verse out because that offends their congregation. No, don't offend them. It tells on them.
Right.
One God. And there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Now, when you hear them waxing eloquent on John chapter 1 about the Logos, the Word, they don't ever bring up this verse to cross-reference it. Hi. Little Bible study for you. Want to help you out tonight. Listen, God arranged it where you'd hear this. Not so you'd get mad at me. He arranged it so you could hear it.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, and when they start taking verses out of the Bible, I'm done with it. I'll stick with the Bible. That was just so hard to understand. Yeah, I bet. You can tell me what Grissom does on CSI and how he breaks down the molecules to find out the DNA results of a profile. You don't even know what DNA stands for, and you say you can't understand this? Let's get it. Listen, let's get an English dictionary and a Strong's Concordance and look up in words and find out where they mention first in the Bible and let the context define them. You'll find that's the best definition you've ever seen for a word.
Amen.
Another one. John chapter 17, verse 21 and 22, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Here's a strange thing about salvation. When you get saved, you know who you become part of? God himself. You're the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is made one with God. You get in the body of Christ, you're in. Again, why can't you lose your salvation? Because of who's keeping it over here.
Right.
It's God the Father that takes care of that. If you'll notice this one also, another occurrence of the word one, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Talking about Jew and Gentile. That's the two God recognizes. And he recognizes them both together in the church. That's where the middle wall of partitions broke down in Jesus Christ. When we have somebody dealing with themselves and they're saying, well, I've replaced the Jew. No, you've joined them. Well, we got to be Jews then. No, the Jews joined you. See, it's not like we got to go back and keep the all the law or nothing like that. The law's done away with in Christ. That's not our standard anymore. Jesus is. And we come to the law. The law is a schoolmaster that brought us to Christ, is what Paul told us in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And knowing that, he said he had made both one. Now that Jew and Gentile brought us together. You know who hates each other? Jews and Gentiles. That's the Jew and everybody else. God said they're the most despised, smallest nation among the world. That's why he picked them. And if you don't believe they're despised, just ask them. Ask a Jew that's been overseas. Ask a Jew that's been in New York City. Ask a Jew that plays in, I don't know, maybe Kiss's hard rock band, the name Gene Simmons, his real name is Chaim Witts. Why don't you ask him how they treated him as a kid? Calling him bad names and making fun of his race. He got the last laugh. He bilked us about $103 billion, though, so there you go. Hey, here's the funny thing. Everybody's talking about, well, we've replaced that Jew. I don't know about that. I still see him sitting here on the promises of God, and I still see they can't move him out of that land over there.
Right.
So much for you replacing them. Sounds like God's still doing something over there. But when they get saved, they come out of Judaism and come into the church. If we had a church tonight that was full of Jewish people, that saved Jewish people, we wouldn't go back and keep doing the Passover and all them things like that. No, we'd come to the Bible and preach, and we'd sing songs about Jesus and praise him. Why? Because they've been made one in Christ. The middle wall of partitions took down.
Right.
Notice this one. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold. One shepherd. In dealing with cults, I want to teach you a little something tonight. Years ago, when we'd be watching football on Sunday afternoon, there'd be this sweet little commercial would come on, the soft-talking voice, you know, very kind. And it would show that verse of Scripture. Other sheep have I also. And they'd try to tell you that was the Mormons. That God had a tribe in South America. And Jesus, after his resurrection, went and visited them and gave them the golden plates and sent that angel to give them golden plates. And that's where they come from. And they want to come to your house and do a Bible study. That's a nice try, but we've always learned one thing about the Bible. And what's that? Never, ever take things out of context. Who was Jesus talking to in John chapter 10? Was it Gentiles or Jews? So if he's talking to Jews, he said, other sheep have I also. Other sheep have also, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, if he says, other sheep I have, he's not talking about a group of mysterious people that never could be discovered in South America, and tablets that's never been discovered, and no evidence of that whatsoever, but yet we found a Noah's Ark. We found temples over there in the Middle East. We found ruined kingdoms that God destroyed. We found all them places over there. We found Jericho with the walls crushed down into the ground below the level of the land. Amen. But we can't seem to find all this stuff. The reason being, it don't exist. It never has. See, when they come up with all that, they wasn't counting on GPS, Global Position System, Google Earth, where you look in on these things and see the coordinates where they're supposed to be, and there's never been anything there like that. And here's the funny one. The mysterious tribe Indians, no Indians down there, has never heard of them. Never heard of them. Don't even know. They know why. They don't exist.
Right.
You take the scriptures for face value. What does he say? Other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Well, if you recall in John chapter 10, when he made that statement of those Jews, had he healed any Gentiles and saved them by that point? Sure he had. John chapter 4 comes before John chapter 10. He dealt with a Samaritan woman over there. half-breed woman. So we got one in the fold that's half Jew, half Gentile. You got those soldiers over there that he come up to Jesus and said, if you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. You don't have to go there. He wasn't a Jew. He was Gentile. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That, listen, he was sitting there dealing with them and told them there'd be one fold and one shepherd. When he rose from the dead and he started his church, guess what? We're just in one. There's one now. And there's just one shepherd over it. And the next time that bunch of cults comes to your house and tells you, well, if that's so, then why are there so many different Christian denominations and so many different Baptists and blah, blah, blah. You remind them that they have about three or four different splits off them, too. That they're not spotless like they make out to be.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to tell y'all that, was I? So did you learn that in church history? No, I teach it in cults. Amen, friend. Amen. If you don't call it what it is, everybody be trying to check it out saying, well, I guess they're just as good as everybody else. Listen to this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. If it involves you working to get to heaven, it's a cult.
Right.
I don't care what they call it.
Amen.
Notice this one. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have fellowship who? One with another. One literal interpretation of that passage is this. We have fellowship with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. An application of that is we have fellowship with each other because of the blood of Christ. But he says, how many? One with another. One with another. Notice this. Galatians 3:20. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now get the picture of this. He said a mediator is not a mediator of one. A mediator mediates between two or more opposing parties, right? So if they're opposing each other, the mediator comes in and brings them together and tries to reconcile that thing. Who done the reconciling here? I do believe we could write down God Almighty through his Son, Jesus Christ, reconciled the world unto himself and himself unto the world. Right? Right?
Amen.
She didn't hear a thing I said. Tell him I'll call him back. But you look at this thing, he said the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. The mediator is Jesus Christ. We have one mediator. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 6:4, teaching from the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is how many? One Lord. Not three gods, not multiple gods, not one of the gods, but one. Polytheism says there's many different gods. Monotheism says one God. You and I would be classified as monotheists because we believe there's one God. Well, what about all the other religions? Can't help all that, but I do know there's one God.
Right.
One God. Genesis 2:24. Here's a good one. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be uno flesh, one flesh, one. Don't you like that, ladies? That means you and him are one. That means his fishing rods are your fishing rods.
Right.
Sir, that means her hairspray is your hairspray. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
Never thought about it like that, have you? Need a little stuff up there, brother. A little, what do you call it? Product. Product up there. So next time she goes by and tell her to get a cinch both like, amen, listen. And when he goes up there to Bass Pro Shop buying fishing rods, tell him to get one that you like to flip too. Tell him not a backup reel, a second one for you, so you can go fishing too. Now the special uses of this number we find in the Bible is this. Discerner. The word discerner occurs one time in the King James Bible. And that word discerner is that which distinguishes and causes one to understand according to Webster's 1828 dictionary. And let me point something out to you. A discerner is not, when it's a gift from the Lord, discernment is not a thing to know right from wrong. That's conscience. Discernment is knowing right from almost right. Okay, so how would we determine what's right from almost right? I knew you'd ask. Look here, Hebrews 4:12 shows you where that word discerner occurs one time. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know why people don't like the Bible? Because it distinguishes right from almost right. We went around to Sunday school day and figured out everybody thought there was something before they got saved. They didn't need to be saved. But when the power of God came, guess what we all did? We all repented of our sins. As God granted us repentance, we turned to Christ and was saved. Why? Because something discerned us. We was almost right, some of us. We was good people. Just ask us. We was good people. But what happened that we find out? We found out that Bible discerns us. It's so right from almost right. Here's another word that occurs one time. How about this word? Can you think of, if you go to your hymn book, you can find that word occurring over and over and over and over, but in the Bible just one time, Calvary. The word Calvary literally means a place of the skull, and that's where people went to die. We sing songs about Calvary, but back then they wouldn't have sang songs about Calvary unless they was the blues.
Right.
I'm going to Calvary to die. Lord, I'm going to die. That'd been kind of how it went, except it'd been in Hebrew, right? So now we look back on Calvary with a different look because our Savior went there and died for our sins. Because He died for our sins, we can do at Calvary. We all up tempo and years I spent, you know, doing all this. Why? Because we got something to look back on there that's good.
Right.
Our Savior died there for us. And we look at Calvary occurring one time in the Bible. Here's the one occurrence. And when they were, Luke chapter 23, verse 33, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. Ain't that something? We find out that the place called Calvary is where he was crucified. It's where he gave his life for us. It's where he shed his precious blood. It's where he paid the price for our sins, because God says he put on him the sin of the world. And if God put on him the sin of the world, you know what that means? It ain't on us no more. It's on him. You ever heard that phrase? Somebody say, oh, it's on me, don't worry about it. Guess where they stole that phrase from? Right here in this Bible. 95% of all movie plots come straight from your Bible in some way, shape, or form. The little guy beats the big guy in business. The tycoon's up there ruling a thing, and all of a sudden he's getting arrested, and the little guy's getting the company. David and Goliath. Here's one for you. Most of these movies like this now. Man looks over and sees a good-looking woman and goes and has an affair with her. And well, where's that come from? David and Bathsheba. Over and over. Are you listening? Notice this. For the record, it's speaking just for the record, there's one Bible. Just one. And I know there's always going to be some jerk out there and say, well, what did y'all do for Bible before 1611? I don't know. You seem to know everything. You tell us. You seem like you're so smart, but in case you don't know, I'll tell you. When I teach church history in the Bible Institute, I do the last part of every period of church history, I give this, where the Bible was in that part of church history. Amen. We've had a Bible the whole time. Just one.
Right.
God preserved that book, brought it down, and kept it. It was up to him to keep it from that generation forever. And I'd have to say this, amen, God, you've done a great job keeping your word.
Right.
These publishing houses have dropped the ball. These people that's tried to make money off of it's dropped the ball. But boy, God's word still stands and still is the most published book in the world to this day.
Right.
Well, now y'all are publishing it for free. Aha! We're publishing it for free. Now that's a good thing you brought that up. Why are we publishing it for free? Because the guy that bears the name on this thing, King James the First of Scotland, this man made it under Crown copyright where everybody could copy it. It never has been copyrighted where you can't copy it. He put the stamp on it where you could. You say, how is that? Well, when a king does that, that's big stuff because they always want tax off of it. Are you with me? God gave us one Bible. We
right.
still got one Bible.
Amen.
So how do you know? Because this is the one they all compare themselves to.
Yep.
This is the one they all try and replace and can't seem to get off the shelf.
Yep.
Listen, that guy, I told you that story about a couple weeks ago, my friend that went to church and couldn't believe the preacher's telling things right, so he went and bought him a Bible. He just went to Walmart and found a Bible. Right here it is, one Bible.
Yep.
What'd he do? He found out that preacher's telling right and he got saved. I think that's the problem most folks that argue with the Bible. They just need to flat out get saved. You don't want to argue with God no more and argue with the Bible. You'll agree with the Bible. You'll say, Lord, I see it now. I don't understand some of this. I believe all of it. And Lord, I know you got it under control. We got one gospel. One gospel. Just one. There's only one way for sinners to get saved. Just one. They're not, listen, there's not three options on the table and four if you count this and that. No, it's just one. You either come by Christ or you do not come at all to God Almighty. And you don't go to heaven by any other way to stay there other than Jesus Christ. Now, there, I will say this. There is other ways to heaven, but all of them involve the judgment, and then you get cast in the lake of fire after God's done with you. Mm-hmm. That ain't permanent residence heaven, by the way. That's judgment. Different thing. And that one way to heaven, that one gospel, is still the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by believing in part of it. It's believing in all of it. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that he's sufficient for your sins. Mm-hmm. Where there's only one faith. We mentioned that a while ago. There's only one person to believe in, only one faith to have to get there. And Galatians chapter 2 told us whose faith that is. His. The life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Direct cross-reference to these things. One light. One light. See, I thought Satan was the angel of light. Not like this light. This light says, I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus said of himself. Why do men not go to that light? Because men love darkness rather than light. That's why when you want a nightclub, the walls are painted black. Wonder if that's why then churches do that nowadays. They're trying to get away from the light.
Come on.
Don't worry, they're going to get mad at me anyway, and they already mad before they started, so it'll be okay. All I know is we all get to heaven, they got to love me there, so I'm not worried about what they do with me here.
Amen.
Listen, one light. One light. Notice this. One Lord. Just one. Just one Lord. I'm glad, thank God, ain't two of them.
Right.
I'm glad there's just one. Because if it wasn't just one, you and I'd be in a lot of trouble. We'd have to figure out which one has the authority over the other one, and who's going to fight who, and who's going to win. I've made mention of this several times. I want you to understand this. People think that yin and yang is a thing. Remember yin and yang, the white and the black thing, where they're both there and, the evil holds off the good holds off the evil and all that? That ain't so. Here's why. You can read in your Bible where God's all-powerful and all-knowing.
Right.
So therefore, he's all-powerful. The only thing that happens, he lets happen. That don't sound like he's fighting it to me. You may fight it, but he ain't fighting it.
Right.
And the Bible says about that thing right there, about him being all-powerful, there is no number two.
That's right.
They're in a top, you know, in boxing, they got top 10. Back when boxing was cool, and Vander Holyfield, Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas, they had a name, list of contenders, all that, all that stuff. But in this thing, there's not one. There's just God.
Right.
So what? I thought the devil was number two. No, God's all-powerful. That means there can't be a number two. That means somebody's on a chain, whether they'll admit it or not. He can only go so far.
Yep.
Remember this? Lord, if you let me have Job, well, why'd he ask for him if he's number two in power? Why didn't he just attack him?
Well,
think about it. Just one.
Right.
Hey, have you met this one God? Do you know this one God? He has one Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died one atoning death, and there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It's just him and his one. And as he made that one sacrifice, he sat down on the one right hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for Jesus and thank God for salvation. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye.